Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky. Montana Talks.
Yeah, what a difference a couple of days can make when it comes to the big sky, too, right? Gal, David, I was just ran into John Jackson at a track meet. Beautiful sunny skies. I was like, man, I just saw David Noble at the gym. He was getting swole going on a bike ride. Now here we are. The snow is back, but that's all right. We love the changing weather in Montana. We need the moisture, you know, especially hopefully eastern Montana is going to get more of this moisture as well.
Yep. One of the first things I did this morning was take pictures of the compiling snow and send it to my friends down in Miami.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Captain Bruce is probably listening in Orlando right now as well, so he's probably going to send me a screenshot of 70, 80, whatever the heck weather is there in Orlando right now as well. Well, let's see. Where do we start this morning, David? Your call. You're gracious enough to join us every Thursday here.
So you were talking about the Zoe Zephyr situation and the AOC situation and sort of maybe actually even disagreeing with them in terms of what the people of Montana want and really what the people of Montana voted for in 2024. However, what was so interesting is right after you got done talking about Zoe Zephyr and how I saw your tweet about how it's just crazy to see the Democrats and AOC and Zoe Zephyr and Bernie Sanders doubling down on all of these issues that they just got rejected on at the ballot box. However, then I got on Twitter or X and I saw a post by Zoe Zephyr where he is bragging about how the Montana Democrats are in control of the Montana legislature. He's got a long list of accomplishments that the Montana Democrats have accomplished in the Montana legislature.
Claiming at least that they've accomplished. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, so it's like, man, did we really? I think we did vote against that agenda. But unfortunately, when you've got people like Representative Zoe Zephyr out there bragging about the Democrats being in control and tagging AOC and saying, hey, thanks so much for the shout out, AOC. Montana Democrats are doing great. We're in control of the legislature. We're passing all this stuff. It's crazy.
Well, and yeah, and that I'm glad you're pointing that out in particular, because I didn't see his tweets here yet. But yeah, because then what did we just hear? For those of you who missed it, at the end of the 6 o'clock hour, we had the legislative update from Jeff Laszloffy, and he said that basically now these nine Republican state senators that have been voting with Democrats on rules and Medicaid expansion and committee assignments, they've effectively given the Democrat Senate Minority Leader veto power over these conference committees as well. So they're effectively giving Democrats control over the legislative process at the time when it matters the most. And it's like, that's not what the people of Montana voted for back in November. I can guarantee you they didn't think when they were voting for you with that R behind your name, as you were telling people that you're a conservative Republican, that they were voting to give Zoe Zephyr control of the Montana legislature, the budget bill, but any of this stuff.
So I wonder, with Jeff Laszlo's point on that, I wonder, does that basically mean then that what's likely to come out of these conference committees on the budget is something that only the Democrats and the rhinos can vote for?
Well, I think, unfortunately,
what
I heard from Speaker of the House Brandon Lear yesterday, that is, unfortunately, the longer they sit there in Helena on this massive budget surplus, the more they figure out ways to spend your money.
I saw some story about they're thinking about creating like $1 billion slush fund for
like a trust fund. Yeah. All I can say is I hope the governor has a lot of veto pens, because he's got line item veto authority to cut some of this out of there.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
The battle between President Trump and Harvard University is escalating. The Washington Post reporting that the White House has asked the IRS to take away the tax-exempt status of Harvard. Now, the president has been virtually at war with a number of elite universities. When it comes to Harvard, he says Harvard is a joke, teaches hate and stupidity, and should no longer receive federal funds. In fact, he has frozen more than $2 billion, and another $7 billion is at risk. Harvard, one of the great universities, but obviously left-leaning, is fighting back, unlike some other schools like Columbia and other Ivy League institutions, is saying this is an infringement on academic freedom, all the things that he is demanding. The press is covering this as if it is a test case about the president's ability to push back against academia. With your Media Minute, I'm Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see increasing clouds across the area for today with high temperature readings staying back at around the mid-50s in Bozeman to the mid-60s in Billings. Also seeing some rain shower chances later in the day, especially towards Bozeman. Rain showers turn over to some light snow tonight with 1 to 3 inches in Bozeman, inch or less for areas towards Billings with lows near 30. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, so David, I had some, well, not just fun. There was some serious stuff that we had to talk about in the 6 o'clock hour as well. But I spent the bulk of the 6 o'clock hour kind of recapping what I heard, what stood out to me from the Bernie Sanders AOC rally in Missoula yesterday. But I didn't play any actually sound bites from the rally yet. Do you want me to play? Should I start with the one about Zoe Zephyr, the my
yeah,
girl?
We might as well, since we were talking about that. Yeah,
might as well do one. Okay, well, while I cue that up in the right spot, let me get your take on this. You know, I know the legislature, I mean, they've only got like a couple of weeks left. You know, they have 90 days allotted for the legislative session. If they don't get it done in 90 days, we got to wait two more years to get it done. And the big three, as I talked about yesterday, the big three, across the board income tax relief, significant property tax relief, and judicial reform, they've gotten, you know, some things done on, you know, this and that. But the big three have, you know, by and large, not gotten anything done yet, and there doesn't seem to be an end game in sight. I did see this headline from the left-wing Montana Free Press: property tax relief bill logjam breaks loose. Senate Taxation Committee clears two bills for debate on the Senate floor. So maybe the deadline is going to force them to finally take some action on some of this stuff.
Did you see all of the drama on X yesterday about, was it Courtney Sprunger and somebody else that got up and like walked off the floor at a crucial time on a bill that needed 55 votes and it ended up getting 54 votes, and then Senator Treves was alleging that it was the governor who had directed these legislators to walk off the floor to kill one of these, you know, property tax bills? I have no clue, you know, what's true on that or what's not true.
I saw that he said, she said on it, and it was Senate Bill 90. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Senate Bill 90, I like Senate Bill 90 as well. If I'm not mistaken, that's the one that would take all these tourism tax dollars or hotel bed tax dollars and give a significant chunk of that back to us in the form of property tax relief. Now, it's not going to be as significant a property tax relief as what the governor and some others have proposed, but let's add that into the mix. Add that on top of other, because we're not going to get enough, no matter which way it cuts. We're not going to get as much property tax relief as we should get at the end of the day anyway, so why not add that one in there?
Right? No, that's a great point. So a couple of things. Number one is, I could not believe I saw a random act of journalism from a TV station here in Billings recently when they reported that the city of Billings is paying their employees for driving back and forth from work, and they're giving them these car allowances, and so they are paid both the car, the gas, the time, it's all paid for these city employees to drive to work and back. And of course, now the Billings City Council is looking at, hey, should we really be like paying for you to like drive home after work and like drive into work in the morning? Let me tell you, folks, I have worked for a lot of private companies in my life, and I have never once been provided a vehicle to drive back and home from work. I've never been paid for the time it takes to drive back and home from work. The fact that the city of Billings is doing that is outrageous, in my opinion. And then at the same time, They're threatening us with cuts to police and fire if taxes go down. And so, you're paying millions and millions of dollars to run empty buses all around the city. You're paying tens of thousands of dollars for your employees to drive home after work at night. The state is increasing its budget spending potentially by 11% over the biennium, which is more than inflation. And so we can talk about tax cuts all the time, but Aaron, it's the same thing at the state level that it is at the federal level. We don't have a revenue problem or a tax issue. All of our problems are on the spending side. And whether it's at the city level, in Billings, you see blatant abuse of taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, 15, this is the story David was referring to, and I saw your tweet. 15 top-tier employees get a monthly car allowance, and then they also get special parking privileges, too.
I have to pay for my parking. Downtown Billings, I pay for my parking. This is insane.
Yeah, and so it's like, but again, these are the same people that are threatening that they're going to fire police officers and firefighters because if property tax relief passes the Senate, they're saying, well, we're going to have a $7 million hole in our budget if our citizens get property tax relief. We're going to fire police officers. Really? Oh, but you're going to keep your fancy little parking benefits and your special little car allowance.
Right.
And then you even mentioned, there's empty city buses that are running around. But like, no, you got to fire the firefighters and the police officers. Give me a break.
So, I 100% agree that like property tax relief, income tax relief is critically important at the legislature, especially considering they've got a freaking massive surplus up there. That's insane. Like, that surplus should 100% come back to, and then they should, and Aaron, in my dream world, the city of Billings, the county of Yellowstone, and the state of Montana would be cutting their spending, because guess what? I've had to cut my spending.
That's right. You've had to deal with inflation by not, you can't just go to somebody else and say, hey, inflation's kind of been getting me, so I need you to give all this other stuff. You have to say, hey, you know what? Inflation's been getting us all. We got to figure out a way to kind of tighten our belts here. Government's like, well, inflation,
just going to spend more, even more than in the inflation.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I said, it was interesting chatting with Speaker Lear yesterday, because I started off by telling him, everybody's saying, what the heck is going on back there? What a mess. And then I said, so some people are wondering, like, okay, is the deadline going to force lawmakers in Helena to finally get together, get united, and deliver income tax relief, property tax relief, and judicial reform? Or, man, do they just need to freaking adjourn, call it a day for now, and come back a month, 2 months, three, whenever they get their act together, come back 3 months from now, and then use the remaining legislative days to get the job done.
But if that's one of the only options, then sure, but those special sessions cost millions of dollars, don't they?
And not only that, but the longer they sit back there, the more money they keep spending. So that's why the governor, he's going to have to line on and veto that. So, pardon my language, the piss out of that freaking budget bill, sounds like, if that's what gets to him.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Many of us want to lose weight, but diet and exercise are a much better way to do it than, say, having some kind of serious disease. In much the same spirit, we want to see inflation fall, yet it matters how this is done. The March report on the Consumer Price Index, which showed overall prices actually nudging down for the month, had some of that flavor. It's hard to have robust inflation if consumers are reluctant to spend anything. And the economy is driven by consumer spending, that's not good news. It's the most important reason why most forecasters think that when overall economic growth estimates for the first quarter are announced this week, they'll show only a trickle of growth, if any at all. Consumer sentiment and spending alike were depressed even before the financial upheaval of early April. And few of us are reading the March CPI report as indicative of where prices are going. The huge tariffs on Chinese goods will be a rude surprise for consumers and businesses alike, even if only part of the tax bill is passed through. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. A new study finds U.S. emergency room doctors treat a shocking amount of gunshot wounds, and those injuries actually follow patterns throughout the day and year. Researchers found ER doctors treat a gunshot wound every half hour. Adding to that are findings that show gun injuries also occur more often on weekends, in the summer, and on holidays. Injuries are most common on New Year's Eve or day, in the month of July, and between 2:30 and 3 a.m. For the study, researchers analyzed ER gun injury visits that took took place between January 2018 and August 2023 in 9 states and the District of Columbia. They found more than 93,000 firearm-related ER visits during that 5-year period, which amounted to about 74 cases for every 100,000 visits, roughly one every 30 minutes. Researchers say this was the largest study so far to investigate patterns of firearm injuries related to different times of the day, week, and year. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Anna Eliopoulos, Fox News.
Spring.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Bayer is saying it may stop producing glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, unless it receives court protection from ongoing lawsuits linking the herbicide to cancer. The company currently supplies about 40% of global glyphosate demand. In early March, Bayer alerted farmers, suppliers, and retailers that a halt in production could come within months, not years, forcing U.S. agriculture to rely more heavily on Chinese imports. USDA says over 90% of U.S. corn, soybean, and cotton crops are genetically engineered to resist glyphosate, making it a critical tool for weed control. In other news, a bill to remove wolves from the Endangered Species Act has passed a key House committee and is moving to a full House vote. Sponsored by Representative Tom Tiffany of Wisconsin, the Pet and Livestock Protection Act is gaining traction with Republican control in Congress and the White House. Tiffany's optimistic about its chances this year. Major ag groups like the Farm Bureau, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and the Public Lands Council support the bill. It took an act of Congress to delist the gray wolves in Wyoming, Idaho, and here in Montana, and turned control of the species over to each respective state. Tiffany introduced a similar bill last year, but says he's much more confident about its chances of passing this year. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
They're disappearing, our friends, and the crowd in Missoula goes wild. I don't know if you heard me talk about that part. Like, she's complaining that these hardcore criminal illegal aliens are getting arrested by ICE agents. These are rapists. These are murderers. And even if they're none of the above, they broke into this country illegally. They cut in line. They, you know, but no, here that, she that, is. They're taking our friends off the streets. Oh, rapists and murderers are your friends, huh? Isn't that just crazy?
I absolutely lost my cool on Twitch the other night when I started.
I love it when you lose your cool on Twitch.
And I might do it here because this angers me so, so much. To hear these Democrats refer to the United States of America arresting and deporting illegal aliens as disappearing people, that is a disgrace and a shame, and it's disgusting. And how dare you downplay what is really happening in communist countries around the world, for example, to the Uyghurs in Xinjiang, China.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want to degrade that term and make that term meaningless and refer to what are absolutely just and lawful arrests and deportations in the United States and draw an equivalency between that and what the CCP and the communists in China are doing to the Uyghurs in Xinjiang. That's disgusting.
Especially when Bernie Sanders, where did he honeymoon again? Bernie Sanders loved the communist Soviet Union, and he spent a good amount of time in China as well. Tampon Tim Walz, how many trips? He did almost 30 trips to China. He loves the communists in China, where they actually disappear everyday citizens who simply speak out of criticism of their government. These are rapists Correct. And murderers and people who broke the laws of this country who are being returned either to their country or they're being sent to a prison because they committed vicious crimes and they're not citizens of the United States of America. But you want to compare them to Christians who get disappeared from the streets of China or under the Soviet communists. You want to compare it to that? You want to compare it to Jews who got disappeared? No, this is a righteous anger that I'm glad you brought up on the show this morning.
Yeah, and it's like I'm gonna start doing this. Like when I give somebody a ride home and take them home. Hey, I just disappeared you, because that's what we're doing. We're sending people home. We're taking them home. So now you give you. Hey, if I need a ride home after the show today, Aaron, you could disappear me. It's truly insulting and disgusting.
Can you disappear me to some beach somewhere for just a few days? I don't know if you could help me do that. That'd be great. El Salvador. I want to go meet Kilmore in El Salvador. Now, the rest of the week, I'll be at the beach. But 5 minutes with Kilmore, and then, I can check the box. Yeah. I did my job, and then I go back to the beach for the rest of the week.
Well, anyways, they're not being disappeared. We know they're in Seacott. They're in prison in El Salvador. We know where they're at.
That's right.
They're in Seacott.
In their white skivvies, as my World War II grandpa would have referred to it. They're in their white skivvies with their MS-13 tattoos and everything. Okay, David, here's the audio. This is AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And this is about 30 minutes into her speech here when she ignores the actual women legislators, but then heaps this praise on the man known as Zoe.
You know that, Missoula, because you sent an amazing state representative in Zoe Zephyr to the state capitol. That's my girl out there. I was actually texting with Zoe this week. She was going to be here today, but she's at the capitol right now voting for you all. Doing her job. But Montana, that's because it is standing together without exception to reject division that is the only way that we can win. So I hope that you see that this...
Anyway, there you go. That's my girl out there. My goodness. What,
that was weird. AOC didn't have an accent there.
Yeah,
that was weird.
She repeated this. By the way, she repeated the same line about what Donald Trump this and Donald Trump that, but she dropped the Hillary Clinton hot sauce accent
right.
In Missoula. Yeah, apparently. Yeah. So apparently she heard the criticism from her Idaho remarks, and she used the same line, but she dropped the Hillary Clinton hot sauce.
You know what message? You know what message that sends, Aaron, though, that's really disgusting and disturbing? Is that message, the message that AOC and Bernie Sanders and the Democrats are sending is, hey, if you want attention from the top echelons of the Democrat Party, if you want to have fun text messaging the top leaders of the Democrat Party in Washington, D.C., become trans. Because then you'll get called out by AOC and you'll be cool. And that's what's driving a lot of it, because young people have impressionable young minds and lots of emotions and confusion and everything else. And when you have stuff like that in AOC, that's pretty disgusting, I think.
I'm sitting there watching it. I'm like, man, Representative Katie Sullivan is a Democrat from Missoula, an actual woman. I went to college with her husband. Cool guy. We don't agree on politics. He's a Bernie bro for sure.
Did she get a shout out?
I don't even think she got one shout out, but...
She texting with AOC the week before?
I don't think she got even a text message, but,
Jeez.
If you call yourself a man, you might get a chance. You might get a shout out. Yeah, I was talking. Speaking of Missoula Democrats that are actually women... I don't think Ellie Boldman got a shout out either, did she, by AOC? I don't remember Ellie Boldman getting a shout out, And, I mean, she had such a great time, or maybe such a bad time, at the Tim Walz dinner in Helena that she passed out drunk in the middle of an intersection. But I don't think she got a shout-out yesterday. But you heard it. Ellie Boldman gave Montana Talks a shout-out on the floor of the state Senate. I was listening to the Aaron Flint show, and... That was hilarious.
It's funny because I hear that all the time in all sorts of different contexts. And what was funny is I was actually working out at the gym listening to Montana Talks.
Hey.
And in walks Aaron Flint. I was like, hey, I'm listening to you right now.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Hey, get over here. I got to give you a piece of my mind. No, it's fun. Running into you and Joker and others around town.
But here's the thought that I had, though, about this Bernie AOC thing, because... I actually talked to a fair number of Montana Democrats, true blue Montanans, but Democrats. What they're saying, what the Montana Democrats that I know are saying, is that they need to be more convincing than John Tester was at being moderates. That's how they think they're going to win in Montana. They think they lost John Tester's race because he was viewed, rightfully so, as a radical leftist establishment hack. And so what the Montana Democrats are saying is, hey, for us to win, we basically need to do a John Tester and come out and say, hey, we're rural Montana farmer, we're conservative Democrats, we're not East Coast.
Look at my flannel shirt.
Right. But do it in a convincing way, unlike John Tester, who is obviously one of the biggest phone So if that's the case, though, Aaron, then Bernie and AOC and Zoe Zephyr are the opposite of that. And yet, boy, was that crowd in Missoula going wild for the transgender stuff.
Oh, yeah, they were all about it.
And so how are the Democrats going to win? Are they going to try to do the John Tester, hey, lie and predict, or are they going to go the full-blown left-wing Zoe Zephyr route? That's the question.
I don't think they have any other option. All right, let's sneak in a call here. Before we get to the break, we got Goose and Anaconda. Goose, what's going on?
Oh, you know, just watching this bad game of good cop, bad cop and every day in the world, but you know, it's just really tiresome to just keep talking and talking about these commies and the BS that they're doing every day. I mean, that's all we do. We just talk about what the Democrats are doing to us. We're never going on the offensive and saying, hey, let's start arresting some people. And that might shut these people up, like Mayorkas and Becerra, who opened up this whole border. You know, maybe if we actually arrest some people, that would make a lot of the people that don't pay attention realize, hey, yeah, they did allow an invasion of our southern country, and they should be arrested for treason.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are asking of, Dan Bongino now.
I'm hearing that a ton, yeah.
Deputy FBI Director Kash Patel just saying, guys, where's the accountability? And I know, you know, Dan saying, guys, things are happening. They're happening behind the scenes, but... You know,
and Mark Levin has pointed out that those types of things, they take time. You have to build your case. You have to do it right.
Yeah, but nonetheless, I mean, I said this on Tuesday. Yeah, the natives are restless. We want to see some accountability. Yeah, great point.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So, David, there's one more AOC clip that I want to play with you here, and then we should probably get to a woke update of the week, because I've got one, and I think it ties into your woke update of the week as well. First, though, here, I mentioned, you know, Captain Bruce down in Orlando, Florida. I said, oh, he's probably listening. He's going to brag about how nice the weather is there right now. He's actually traveling for work down in Texas today, so he is listening in. And the high temperature there today should be 86, so, which is nice now. But, man, about 2 months from now, I will be more than happy to be sitting right here, even if it's snowing in June, because we've had snow in June, and that's all right.
Same thing with Miami. It's like, oh, it's so nice. Everybody likes the weather here in Miami. It's so nice. And then you spend all summer long inside in the air conditioning. It's totally ridiculous. No, it's nice in the winter times, but, no, I would take a Montana summer over just about anything on Earth.
See, I actually like the weather in Miami because I feel like it's all, like, it never gets too hot down there, for me at least, because I remember, man, we'd be working out, like, out on the tarmac or out near the pier down in places like Bahrain, and it'd be like 120 degrees, and you know, you're working out with Navy SEALs and Green Berets, and it's like, holy crap, man, now this is hot, you know. So you know, 80-something, 90-something, you know, that's like a, you know, sweating to the oldies there. Not too bad, right?
Can you imagine the fact that so many people in places that get that hot don't have air conditioning? Frankly, can you believe most Europeans don't have air conditioning? Did you know that Europeans are poor compared to Americans, even if you look like GDP per capita? So, for example, the United States GDP per capita is like $80,000 a year. In somewhere like Italy, it's like $30,000 a year. And that's why they can't afford air conditioning in Europe. And so, you know, everybody likes to talk about Europe and this and Europe that. It's like, well, you know, why don't you go try living in Europe and earn less than half of what you earn here, and you don't have air conditioning. Have fun.
And by the way, the climate alarmists are now telling you that you can't have a family dog anymore either. So all of you, you know... all of you liberals driving around in your little hatchbacks with all the stickers on the back, bragging about your IPAs or whatever it is. Somebody had a great funny message yesterday. I like an IPA, by the way, so no offense to anybody driving hatchbacks or IPAs. But you know the stereotype. They always have two or three dogs hanging out the back window. So technically your carbon footprint is bigger than mine. So why don't you shut up with the whole climate alarmist thing?
Right, right. My only ask for dog owners is please pick up your dog's droppings. My goodness. Because I'm out there trying to ride bike. I'm out there trying to ride bike. And it, I had a thought. I was like, can we have collective punishment for dog owners, for these dog owners out there that don't clean up their dog droppings in the park? And people are trying to walk or ride bike and you got dog poop. Come on, people. This goes out to everybody in the city. Billions that uses the bike trails.
Hey, since we're on random rant session today, so I, you know, went and got my hair cut up off of Wix. You know, my cousin's got, you know, a new barbershop she's a part of up there, cool place. So I drove that bypass, you know, that takes you up around to Zimmerman Trail. There's no houses out there. There's nobody out there. Who is the person responsible for setting the speed limit at 45 miles an hour?
Right.
Seriously, 45. It's the bypass is supposed to meant to speed up traffic, right, to make it easier to move around.
No, you can go.
Why
75.
Is the speed limit 45 freaking miles an hour? This is like, Montana. My right. goodness.
It feels like you're on a highway. I mean, it feels like 75 would be the appropriate speed.
I had to follow these two cars the entire way, and it's like. Why do we have a bypass to speed up traffic and then some moron sets the speed limit all the way down to 45 miles per hour in the middle of the country where there's nothing out there? I mean, you know, but open range. I mean, there's some of the Reber ranch houses are down, but they're hidden from the, you know, they're way far away from the road. But right. somebody set the speed limit of 45. It's like,
and speaking of that,
and then that causes congestion. And right. what causes wrecks? Congestion.
Right.
Same thing with the interstates.
Oh, I'm so sick of the 65. The 65
is absurdly low. And by the way, like, the traffic has gotten worse because they lowered the speed limit. It hasn't gotten better. And again, what causes wrecks? What causes problems? Congestion. But the feds say, well, because of Bozeman's population, because of Billings' population, now you have to lower the speed limit to 65. It's absurd. It causes more congestion, which causes more accidents.
Right. And it's against our freedom.
Yeah.
Well, it's government control.
And these liberals who are like, yeah, Maine should be able to stand up to the feds and allow Title IX money to go to men playing in women's sports. Well, but they don't want us to set our own speed limits or all sorts of parents' rights, anything like that, right?
Right. No. Have you talked about the Harvard story? Because what's going on with Trump
bit,
and Harvard
bit, yeah.
is wild right now. And there's this – he's obvious – I mean – here's the thing, right? Like, Trump is basically going to these universities and say, hey, we have civil rights in this country. And if you're going to get taxpayer dollars, if you're going to get public funding, you have to, like, respect civil rights and follow civil rights laws. And they're like, well, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to allow, you know, we're going to continue with racial discrimination, and we're going to continue to allow racial discrimination and harassment on our campuses and everything else. And then Trump is like, okay, well, we're taking away the funding. And then they're like, this is a violation of academic freedom. Since when does academic freedom involve violating people's civil rights? That was sort of my follow-up question. And then the latest was the IRS is potentially going to take away their tax-exempt status, and I don't know. To me, that's a little bit concerning because Democrats are obsessed with this type of attacks on people, using the IRS to take away your exempt status if they don't like your organization. So that seems to be a little bit aggressive, but so I 100% think
Bernie Sanders actually brought up Harvard yesterday. I haven't gotten any Bernie Sanders clips yesterday, but listen to what Bernie Sanders said in Missoula at the University of Montana. By the way, funny, you know, kind of a nice sidebar for Bernie. His daughter went to the University of Montana and apparently met her husband there, and so he's got two grandkids. So that was a nice story shared by Bernie. But anyway, listen to what he said about Harvard at the University of Montana yesterday.
These so-called conservatives who believe in local control now want to tell universities and schools what they can and cannot do. And I want to thank Harvard University. For standing up to Trump, and I hope every university in this country does the same.
So look, if Harvard University was standing up to Trump, they wouldn't need our taxpayer dollars. They would say, you know what? We've got a massive endowment. We're going to stand and we're going to do whatever we want to do. We don't need your money. You can keep it. But see, that's not what they're doing. They still want to demand billions of our taxpayer dollars to fund their nonsense. You know, 20 or so years ago, I was working for the Today Show during the Democrat National Convention in Boston. And there was one of the other runners is what the job we were doing. She was an ROTC student at Harvard University. They didn't get to train on the Harvard University campus, though, because Harvard discriminated against the U.S. military and would not allow our U.S. military on their campus. So their anti-Semitic garbage that's going on today is the reason they shouldn't get any of our taxpayer dollars. But frankly, they shouldn't have gotten any of our taxpayer dollars the moment they started discriminating against the very military that protects their cushy little asses back in Boston.
Amen to that. Well said. That is outrageous. You know what really bugs me about that statement by Bernie Sanders is just what a hypocrite he is. What a complete hypocrite. And not only on all of his, oh, I'm a anti-capitalist socialist, but yet he's also a millionaire, so, you know, engaged in capitalism to the highest extent. Not only that hypocrisy, but the hypocrisy of him to go on and say how terrible for the federal government to try to tell us what we can and can't do. Bernie, your entire life is dedicated to having the federal government tell people what they can and can't do. And by the way, yeah, when it comes to civil rights and racial discrimination, yeah, we are going to come tell you, no, you can't allow racial discrimination. Sorry, I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. This is Twitch, David, coming out. This is at LexerFan on Twitch coming out right now. That's good. Let's see. Oh, man.
We got a woke update.
We got a woke update. So my woke update was this. And this is one of those pardon my language hours all around here today. So the Billings Gazette yesterday featured this article, and it's still on their website. Will patriotic indoctrination be the next attack on Native American school children? And my immediate response, and it's still my response a day later, is has this dumbass ever been to a powwow?
They're very patriotic.
Massively patriotic event. Native Americans are massively patriotic.
Join the military all the time.
At higher rates than any other ethnic category. They're very patriotic people, and apparently that pisses off these white liberals that write for some of these liberal newspapers. And
these are the same people that have made the American flag is now a right-wing Republican thing.
Yeah.
Just like lifting weights is also now right-wing. And, you know, eating healthy, now right-wing.
Well, it improves brain power.
Right.
So if you exercise and eat healthier, as I'm eating my Ranch Dorado Billings Last Diet protein chips, it actually does. It improves brain function. The ketones that come from ketosis powers your brain in a massive way. So it makes sense that you would start to see the light.
Here's my woke update of the week. My woke update of the week is the Montana legislature and every single legislator in the Montana legislature that voted in favor of the bill to establish Indigenous Peoples Day in Montana on Columbus Day, which is a direct attack on America and everything it stands for. And I call out and denounce every legislator that voted for that.
It's woke virtue signaling, so... You know,
Fox News commentary.
The teen accused of stabbing another teen to death at a track meet just had his bond reduced. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next. 17-year-old Carmelo Anthony is charged with stabbing fellow 17-year-old Austin Metcalf to death at a high school track meet in Texas. His bond was originally set at $1 million, but a judge in Collin County reduced that significantly to only $250,000. Anthony is still charged with first-degree murder, but will now await trial at home with an ankle monitor instead of behind bars. He must also have adult supervision 24/7. Anthony has two new Dallas lawyers known for taking on racial justice cases. His legal defense fund has now eclipsed $400,000, which is more than the Metcalf fundraiser has brought in. The whole case went from a tragic stabbing case involving two teens to a race hustle thanks to social media. It's sick and twisted. The family of Austin Metcalf has to watch as a certain contingency of folks root for the kid who stabbed their son. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see increasing clouds across the area for today with high temperature readings staying back at around the mid-50s in Bozeman to the mid-60s in Billings. Also seeing some rain shower chances later in the day, especially towards Bozeman. Rain showers turn over to some light snow tonight with 1 to 3 inches in Bozeman, inch or less for areas towards Billings with lows near 30. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Fixing the VA, making Montana's timber industry great again, plus wildfire legislation already clearing the United States Senate. Montana's newly elected U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy dropping by our Montana Talks studios. He joined us in our statewide 9 o'clock hour. We snuck in your calls and much more. If you missed it, check out the full audio on the Montana Talks app. Click the on-demand button, or you can even find the Montana Talks podcast on Spotify and some of your other podcast sources as well.
If you EL.com, that's Babbel.com.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I want to play one more AOC clip from the rally in Missoula yesterday, special for our friend David Noble here, and I'll have more highlights here. Coming up in the next couple hours of this show. A lot to get to. I probably got about six different sound bites from AOC alone, probably a dozen I could play from Bernie. Here you go, though, another one from AOC.
But we are here for the long haul, Montana, because we are here for the school boards and the community associations. We're here for the small business groups and the town councils, for public arts and gestures of inclusion, and we will build from there. So, folks, you know what that means. We will start working now to give your Republican representatives the boot and replace them with a brawling Democrat who will stand up for the working people of Montana.
So much to say there. I want to talk about the working class later on in the 8 o'clock hour of the show, but I think that was an important message for our listeners to hear, because I think some people might be complacent right now and they might be thinking, Trump's president, it's good. They look at the big turnout in the November elections. Look, they know you got to go after school boards. You got to go after city councils. You even take over innocuous things like Humanities Montana to start pushing your wacko leftist agenda. That's what they do. They take over every institution to bring about cultural change.
What I took away from that is AOC basically saying right there that Monica Tranel is not a brawler? That's the way I think that.
And that soundbite, by the way, is 1 minute before she then talks about Zoe Zephyr, the clip that we played earlier. So is that AOC basically saying Zoe Zephyr should be their candidate for Congress?
Well, by the way, remember all the dirty tricks Monica Tranel pulled?
Oh,
I would definitely consider Monica Tranel a brawler of the lowest sort.
Yeah, she just lost. Right. She's a brawler who lost. Yeah.
Right.
But what about Fussy Bussy? Oh, wait, he lost by 20 points.
By the way, if you're gonna choose a congressman to brawl with, maybe not choose Ryan Zinke. The guy's like 6'5", you know, his hands are like a foot long. I mean, you do not want to brawl with him. I'll just tell you that.
Easy there, Marco Rubio. Easy there. Yeah. Well, in the knife collection alone. Yeah.
Right.
In fact, we were practicing knife fighting skills when I did the show from his office after the Trump inauguration. Hey, let's go to Russ in Livingston on the phone lines. Russ, what's going on?
Yes, I was, making a lighter note or patriotic note, but April 19th is coming up, and it's Patriots Day, even though they've tried to change it, you know, Lexington in 1775. And I know that's one of the deals that they try to change history. But
Patriots Day. All right. Well, thanks for the reminder there. That'll be a good reminder for Freedom Friday for tomorrow. By the way, Freedom Friday, David Noble is going to be guest hosting the show. We're going to go, enjoy a day off. But that's going to be a great show. And it's Good Friday and then Easter Sunday. So, what an incredible time and what an incredible country we still get to live in here.
Yeah, great call. Thanks for the reminder about Patriots Day. That reminds me, we are now going into next year is going to be America's 250th birthday. President Donald Trump is planning a massive year-long blowout celebration for America's 250th. We're going to have the Garden of American Heroes, which is one of the things I'm most excited about. If you recall, at the very end of Trump's first term, End of remember, in 2020 is when they were burning down all of our historical statues. They tore down the historical memorial in Helena that was put up by all of the Montanans that have ancestors in the old Confederate. They tore that down. And if you recall, Donald Trump said, "What I'm going to do is I'm going to build 10 times as many statues." You want to tear down one statue? I'm going to build 10. I'm going to build 10 for every one you tear down. And in fact, he's actually building hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of new statues of people like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson.
Is that because he was talking about re-envisioning the Rose Garden, the lawn south? Is that what he's talking about, or is he talking about building that somewhere else? You might have
I don't it. Know, but here's the cool thing. There's going to be a traveling exhibit portion of the Garden of American Heroes. And so we are going to have statue after statue after statue of American heroes displayed all across our country. And guess what? If any of you Democrats try to take one of those down, you're looking at 10 years in prison.
You got a funny message from Ryan in Billings, a fellow veteran listening to this show. He says, man, he's talking about the arena, the Adams Center in Missoula with Bernie and AOC and all the radical leftists. He says, I'll bet that arena smelled like cat pee and patchouli.
It is Missoula. So.
Oh, ooh, that smell. What's that song? You know, the old rock song. You and I both went to UM, so we
get it.
We smell what you're laying down, bro. You know,
right? Some of these people in Missoula, they don't wash their hair forever.
Whoa, it's like, oh, you must be one of those forward Montana kids.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Many of us want to lose weight, but diet and exercise are a much better way to do it than, say, having some kind of serious disease. In much the same spirit, we want to see inflation fall, yet it matters how this is done. The March report on the Consumer Price Index, which showed overall prices actually nudging down for the month, had some of that flavor. It's hard to have robust inflation if consumers are reluctant to spend anything. And the economy is driven by consumer spending, that's not good news. It's the most important reason why most forecasters think that when overall economic growth estimates for the first quarter are announced this week, they'll show only a trickle of growth, if any at all. Consumer sentiment and spending alike were depressed even before the financial upheaval of early April. And few of us are reading the March CPI report as indicative of where prices are going. The huge tariffs on Chinese goods will be a rude surprise for consumers and businesses alike, even if only part of the tax bill is passed through. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.